You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for the shortened trading week because of Youth Day yesterday. So that means it's time for the opening with Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. And this podcast is proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Greg, we have to look, as we always do, at our SENS announcements to start with. Alexander Forbes Group Limited results announcement for the year ended 31st of March and a special cash dividend declaration, which is always a good thing. Has it done anything this morning before you give us your comments on this particular company?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's sort of not really been a superstar of listings that it sort of set out to be from the beginning, really. Been a couple of setbacks there. The share price up sharply, though, trading at R5.85, up 3.5%. Still quite thin volume, but it looks like some quite serious buyers, 565 area, sellers 589. We've had only 2,000 shares trade, but certainly looks to be well. This news looks welcomed by the market.
Yes, the special dividend is always one to pique the interest. Greg, just go back to the history of Alexander Forbes. It was listed, it delisted, and then it relisted. That's the case, isn't it?
That's right. I think sort of it was listed back in the 90s. Just looking at the share price history going back to around 2017, it was trading around R7.30, made a recent low. Actually, the end of last year, I suppose, when everything was being sold off, was trading at R4.26. So back at R5.85, it's a nice steady recovery. The trend so far this year has been upwards.
Yes, indeed. It's almost like you divorce your wife and then you get back together with her. It's often not a good idea.
Often, yeah, you get reminded why you left.
Yeah, precisely. And that's the same. Well, what I'm referring to now is, of course, the relisting after the delisting. Sure. Greg, let me have a look at this one as well. This is an interesting one. Old Mutual Limited has come out with an update on Peter Moyo and the termination of the gentleman's employment. Have you seen that since? It came out, I think, around about 8:30.
Yes, I mean, you know, the market's been a little bit puzzled by all of that, and you know, a big blue chip company like that, so the whole story seemed a little bit grubby finger marks about it. We obviously, it is always very sketchy on the detail, but I mean, as they were saying, sort of more and more material facts are coming to light, and it looks like a separation will continue.
Yes, it says here there is a duty on directors of all institutions to be vigilant regarding the management of conflicts of interest. The importance of this duty has been highlighted by a number of recent corporate governance breakdowns within both the private and public sector. Not referring to Old Mutual, of course, but they're just setting, it's just giving you a sort of background to what they're going to say now. Mr. Moyo's conflicting interest in the NMT group of companies was declared on his employment and governed by a specific protocol to regulate the conflict of interest, in addition to the general obligations flowing from his employment contract, etc. And it goes on for quite a long time, actually. He had a conflict of interest. He was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing within the mandate of the CEO of a major financial institution.
Yes, I suppose, I mean, in hindsight, it should have been both. This is NMT Capital, which is also sort of in the financial services space. That should have been a conflict of interest straight away, and maybe would have had to sort of have, almost like Mr. Trump with his sort of blind view, or hands off or not running those businesses while he's in the other job kind of thing. So this probably was inevitable. But it's good that corporate governance seems to be becoming slightly more sort of assertive about itself, really. And this is this type of thing. You know, Old Mutual's got a very good name in the market, and they need it protected at all costs.
Yes, it says that, more or less says that, look, we had a chat with him, we couldn't resolve the issue. So it says, following unsuccessful attempts to engage on the terms of separation, the board has now resolved to give notice of termination of employment. I'm sure his career will flourish eventually. And a new CEO, that's the main thing. What's going to happen? Greg, I've just been looking at the week ahead. It says here Forbes, we've done that one. It also says MultiChoice Group. Now, you alluded to the fact that it might come out with its results last Friday. I wasn't around on Friday afternoon because it was a long weekend. That's no excuse, but that's my excuse. Greg, did they come out on Friday? Because FNB securities say that it's coming out this week.
I think you're right. On the website, it actually said the 14th, and that's where I got the date from. There may have been some delay from the auditors or something, but I did have a trading statement on the 10th of June last week. So it's all set for today. We'll have to see. The share price is remarkably strong. It's trading at 128.56. It always seems to be one of those stocks that people all want to see go down. It's almost a sort of hated bull market in multi-choice at the moment. People can't sort of get their heads around this business model. But I think going into Africa is where they're going to, you know, that's what's going to give them the edge.
Yes, indeed. There's Naspers also coming out with its results, and they're probably going to be on the same day as MultiChoice, because they used to be one and the same, of course.
Yes, Naspers. It's the child of Naspers, yeah.
And precisely. There's also full-year results coming out from PPC, Pretoria Portland Cement, as it used to be known, and also Steinhoff International. So a little bit going on this week.
Yes, I mean, we were saying last week sort of lull in results, but all of a sudden that some nice juicy ones are coming up. At Steinhoff will obviously be our fascination, and it's always one of them. It's probably always the most huge share. Share on internet. The share trading at 151 at the moment. But I don't think anything's going to dazzle us in those numbers. It's just a bit of clarity what the market's looking for.
Yes, indeed. Let me give you the spot prices to give us some background to what we're going to talk about in a moment, which is gold shares again. We've got the dollar rand trading at 1480, which is more or less unchanged from the Friday close. British pound against the rand is 1855, and the euro rand is 1663, with the euro dollar 112.40, which is a stronger euro to the tune of 0.2%. The gold price, Greg, has jumped by $5.50 to 1345. Everyone talking about 1350 as a key resistance level. The gold shares, we'll come to that in a moment, seem to be anticipating a breakout here. The platinum price is up $4 to $7.99, and palladium is up $25 an ounce. Suddenly, Greg, $14.74. Oil price $61.08, despite the tensions between the US and Iran, which seem to, well, according to CNN anyway, the Trump-hating CNN, seem to be coming to the boil. Greg, gold shares.
The palladium price, you're right. I mean, it's a real change in sentiment there, that it's only sort of almost pricing itself in as it's heading back to 1600, really, which was the recent highs.
Yeah.
Let me give the indexes. Let's have a look here. The banks up 1.5%, financials up 1%, industrials up 0.2%, the retailers up 1%, gold shares, in spite of the better gold price, down 0.75%, platinum's down 1/3%, resources flat, really. That leaves the all share up 0.41, up 240 points at 58,434. So, turnover is obviously trying to make up for yesterday being closed. We're just about at 2 billion already, 9:30-ish SA time.
Yeah, it took me a while to refresh my screen. I was looking at Friday's gold shares. But anyway, top five major moves. On the upside, I've got Supergroup, 4.5%. Sibanye, and that's probably to do with the platinum group metals rather than the gold price. Kumba Iron Ore, 2.7% higher. Standard Bank up 2.1%. And Shoprite, also 2.1% to the good. Sibanye, if you had to say gold was down 10 and platinum group metals were up a similar amount in percentage terms, what would Sibanye do? Is it more of a PGM company or a gold company?
Certainly more PGM, especially with the palladium, and probably in our market, one of the few sort of that reliance on palladium price. But it's funny, the psychology where people can't break away from thinking of it as a gold share. And so the gold price does seem to have an effect. It was looking sort of as if it had, you know, it had a move on Friday from 1590 down to 1490 quite quickly, but it bounced back to 1546 today. So I think it's starting to trade more and more with its eyes on that palladium price.
Indeed. You give us the downside numbers, please, Greg, the top five bottom feeders, if you like.
Distel off and on our list, down 4.4%. Goldfields, as we're saying, gold shares coming off, down 3.3%. South 32 in the resource space, down 3%. British American Tobacco, down 2%, 526 rand. That one's been very volatile. Northern Platinum, down 1.8% at 61 rand.
Okay, nothing really much to talk about in those numbers, apart from British American Tobacco. And I'm still of the opinion that we're going into a bear market in that one. You refute that comment, or that opinion, rather.
I'm starting to switch to slightly to your view, because each time some positive news, and then the negative news sort of gets exaggerated, the share price down lower. I mean, the all-time high on this one is north of 900 rand. Yeah, we're sitting at 528. Is not a nice solid dividend payer, But that story is wearing thin with investors at the moment, and definitely some headwinds in the tobacco space.
Outside of the corporate world, we've got CPI coming out on Wednesday, Greg, and it's expected to be bang in the middle of the target range of the South African Reserve Bank, i.e. 4.5%. And also the big one on Thursday, which it's always good evening viewing, the State of the Nation Address, live from Cape Town. And the EFF chaps will be no doubt having a go at the ruling party about the recent poor performance of the economy, land expropriation, all that sort of thing. So it promises to be riveting viewing.
Certainly, just the way that the politics has fallen into place the last couple of months, this would be probably one of the most interesting State of the Nation addresses we've had. That CPI figure will be interesting because the Reserve Bank were saying last week that they see room in their model for a rate cut. So let's hope that all comes to fruition. I think we've also got the futures closeouts on Thursday, being the third Thursday of the third month as well.
Very good. Just before we go, the S&P is down around about 5 at the moment, the Iran-US situation. And in the old days, the gold price would have been up $20 and the S&P would have been down a couple of percent. But we're so blasé about this bull market, we just shrug all these things off.
Yeah, the market, it becomes sort of a little bit more robust and these type of things. And, being spooked up and down on the – realize that until something really concrete happens, it's best not to react.
Greg, thanks very much for your analysis. We'll speak again just after 5 o'clock with the 5 o'clock shadow. That was the opening. And Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.